Okay, Clara, what book has your favorite twist?
I think Elizabeth Bennet ending up with Fitzwilliam Darcy. What a twist. Unexpected.
Okay, I love that. Okay, so I think my favorite twist in a book is the twist at the end of Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. I'm not going to spoil it, though.
I've never read it.
It's really...
Or seen the show.
Okay.
I will, though.
You
Amy
read
Adams.
The book. Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to season two of One More Chapter, a podcast where we'll talk about books that moved us for better or for worse. I'm Clara.
And I'm Claire.
And we're your hosts. Today, we're discussing My Murder, a novel by Katie Williams.
I love the title of this book so, so much.
It's great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so should we do the online book summary?
Let's do it.
All right, so it opens with a question. What if the murder you had to solve was your own? Lou is a happily married mother of an adorable toddler. She's also the victim of a local serial killer, recently brought back to life and returned to her grieving family by a government project. She is grateful for this second chance. But as the new Lou readapts to her old routines, and as she bonds with other female victims, she realizes that disturbing questions remain about what exactly preceded her death and how much she can really trust those around her.
Oh, what did you think about that?
I loved it.
It was good. I liked how they said local serial killer, like it's a small business Saturday kind of thing.
Come on down and see your local serial killer.
Buy local.
Yeah, because like aren't all serial killers
exactly.
local?
Like they don't travel.
Yeah.
I think a traveling serial killer.
It's like a, yeah.
I like the summary. You know, I'm not really a mystery or thriller girly.
Yes.
But this was enough of a good summary to kind of reel me in.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
if there's a literary conspiracy, I will be leaning in.
I love it. So let's see. How did each of us come into this book?
So it came out earlier this year and it's kind of been everywhere. And it was kind of marketed as a thriller, for me at least. That's how I received it, as a thriller-ish, like a thriller light kind of novel for people who, for everyone, but especially for people who might not necessarily read thrillers all the time, because I feel like there are dedicated thriller readers. Like I have friends who that's the only genre they read. And those books are scary. They're terrifying. I'm sorry, I can't do it. But this one I thought was, you know, dipping my little toes into the thriller genre.
Yeah, it wasn't particular. There's violent elements, but like it really wasn't particularly violent.
Yeah, just a serial killer.
Yeah. Because like some serial killer books, like it's a lot.
Yeah, they're like explicit. Mm-hmm. I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was good.
Yeah.
Just allude to the serial killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they gamified it, which was.
I know.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
We shall. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the author. So this is actually the first book I've ever read by Katie Williams, but she's actually a pretty prolific author in the young adult and the adult fiction world. So she's written Tell the Machine Goodnight, and she's also written young adult novels Absent and The Space Between Trees. And I really want to read those young adult novels because I'm an old lady who likes young adult fiction.
I haven't read young adult in a while, but I used to love it, obviously.
Yeah, as it probably
as a,
when you were
as
young
a young adult. No, I read it into like young adulthood, probably. Maybe this is a sign that I should get back into it.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. All right, so let's get into the meat of this episode, which means we have to do the spoiler break.
Spoiler break.
All right, so warning, for the remainder of this episode, we will be discussing this book in its entirety. There's going to be spoilers. If you do not want spoilers, this is your sign to hit stop and come back after you finish this book in 3, 2, 1. Okay, we're not joking about spoilers because this is a twist book.
This is a twist book. It is.
So if you don't want spoilers, you should read the book first.
And it's not a long book.
It's not. It's a very easy read. So yeah. I'm going to quickly do a summary, which I'm like not that proud of.
It's okay. It'll like set us up for a discussion,
okay.
Which is really all we need.
All right.
Don't be down on yourself.
I know. I'm not proud of it, but okay. The book is narrated by Louise, who was the fifth and final victim of a local serial killer. She and the other four victims were brought back to life by cloning in this super shady kind of government institution did it. Yeah. They're called the Replication Commission. So Lou returns to her husband and to her toddler daughter with her memories and general feelings still exactly the same as they were before she was killed. The only thing she cannot remember are the weeks leading up to her murder and the murder itself. Obviously, this is done as a courtesy to the victims. However, there are some things that are off about her new life. So her daughter, for example, doesn't want anything to do with her. Mm-hmm. She also remembers that she had packed a duffel bag that was, it was like a go bag. It had her passport and everything before her murder. And her own father doesn't really want much to do with her anymore. So Lou is in a support group with other victims, and her and another victim get an idea to go see the murderer in prison. And there at the prison, they learn that Lou wasn't killed by local serial killer, Edward Early.
Great name for a serial killer.
It is. It's a good one. So Lou's basically like, so who murdered me?
Yeah. Well, first she's like, do I trust this man?
Yeah.
Is he lying or is he telling the truth about him not being my murderer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the motive to lie once you're behind bars?
Exactly.
Honestly.
So basically, everything starts to unravel after Lou finds out she was not killed by Edward Early. And this is where the twist happens. Okay, again, this I'm going to spoil it for you if you haven't read. Listener. So it turns out Lou wasn't murdered at all.
Da, da, da.
Lou is very much still alive. She faked her own death, not anticipating that she would ultimately be cloned.
Who does?
I mean,
you never think it'll happen to you.
Like when I tried to fake my own death in 1996, like I didn't realize I was going to get cloned. So you just never
Hello,
know.
Hello, Claire, too.
Yeah, so. So then the real Lou, not the cloned Lou, realizes that she can give her family what she couldn't. So she, the real Lou, just continues to live her life.
Yeah.
And then fake Lou goes back to the husband.
Lives the original Louise's life.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
It is. And so there's two Lou's.
It's two Lou's. And they're both real,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like one is fake and one is real. They're both real women, real people who want different things from life.
Yeah. Just goes to show you don't really know you're a clone.
Yeah.
You know?
What was interesting to me was her husband, so Lou's original husband and second Lou's husband, Silas, he knew.
He did know.
That she was a clone.
He did. And he still was just like, this is fine.
Yes.
He is like the meme of the house, like the room burning and the dog sitting there with coffee.
Yeah.
He's
this is fine, but also maybe this is better.
Yeah, I know he did like new Lou better because she was.
It's because she was committed.
Yeah, she
to,
liked
like,
him.
Being his wife. Oh,
yeah,
and
old
the mother
Lou had
of,
a whole go bag in the closet.
Yeah. So we'll talk about this. But what did you like?
Okay.
What worked for you?
Yeah, okay. So again, I have to apologize for my summary because it's just not my best. But I really liked this book. And I thought that this was a book where feminist commentary is done really, really well.
Yeah.
I like how the book explores extreme violence against women and how the women themselves, the victims, get usually completely lost in the conversation and everything ends up centering the murderer. This is one of the first serial killer books I have read where the serial killer is truly a footnote in the story and it centers the victims. And I also like how the author's really, really honest about motherhood and how it can feel really like paralyzing and unfulfilling. And she explores that, I think, in a really, really unique way. I've never read anything about a clone.
Yeah. I agree. I thought the feminist commentary was done very well without being super on the nose, which I think people have a tendency to do. Mm-hmm. It's in your face instead of this layered and kind of comprehensive study across like characters and friendships and families. I really love the different friendships between the women who were murdered. Their kind of group therapy. I think those were some of my favorite scenes. It was funny because it's just like having dark humor about the fact that you were murdered alongside all of these other women. I thought it was so well done. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. Just really strong, layered female characters, which is not as common as it should be. And just literature maybe less nowadays, but they tend to flatten their portrayal of women and how they relate mm-hmm. to each other. So mm-hmm. it's either like, oh, we're friends or we're enemies. Like that's how women are written often in literature. And this did not fall into that trap. It was just like, oh, sometimes we're getting along, like Lou with Fern, right? One of the other mm-hmm. murdered women recently cloned. Sometimes we're not getting along. Sometimes I'm like, who are you? Like, why are you so weird? Like, I don't want you in my life. And then other times it's like, oh, this is the only person that I can talk to about mm-hmm. this. So the like rotation kind of how a friendship works. I really liked it. Really, really enjoyed it. Just letting women be full people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. This was a great portrayal of the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about what we hated. Did you want to go first?
You can go first. I feel like I just talked for 27 minutes.
No, I liked it. Okay, so for me, I thought that there was kind of a lot going on in this book. And it was all very smartly done. But there were moments where I was just like, wait, what happened? I think for me, one part that I kind of still don't fully understand was mm-hmm. Lou's job. So listener, Lou works at an AI hugging job.
Yeah.
So essentially what happens is you go into a virtual room and you hug someone or embrace them or hold their hand.
Yeah.
So you wear like a new sort of digital skin.
Yeah.
That you can pick what it is. And then you go into this room and Lou, the protagonist of the book, is the embracer. She'll like hug you or hold your hand for a certain amount of time. But okay, fine. I felt that job was very off brand for Lou, who didn't to me seem like a very touchy feely type of person. Like to me, this job seemed like it would be her nightmare, not something she would like, but she seemed to really like it, which again adds to like the layers of the women in the book. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, oh, this is your job, girly. Like you're the one that wanted to like leave your newborn baby. Because we were like, it's a lot. But okay.
Yeah.
And then in the end, the hugging room comes out to why it's relevant. But throughout the book, I was just like, why? Also, that job would be my nightmare. So I just hated reading about it. I was just like,
it was weird. It was definitely weird.
I hate
it. So it's just like the comfort of physical touch.
Yes.
Of like non-sexual physical touch.
Right. Exactly.
Provided by a stranger.
Yes.
I think it's the stranger of it all that like for me makes sense and is also off-putting. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that Lou is not as bothered by it because there's no commitment to it,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
This is like a half hour. I sit there and I hug a stranger. But then I like never have to think about them. Like
right,
they're not part of my daily
exactly.
life. I don't have a responsibility to this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to serve them.
It's a job.
It's just a job. It would that job, I would die.
I think you can kind of compare it to like the motherhood mm-hmm. of it all, like for sure. And that's part of why it's there. Just mm-hmm. what's the commitment required to what's the job like aspect of being a mother versus just mm-hmm. whatever this is.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. It definitely puts one off when you read it.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's something that it's not that it didn't work, and maybe it has more to do with me than the story or with the book, but I expected kind of a bigger twist mm-hmm. at the end mm-hmm. when I first read it. So the main twist basically is that the original Lou is not dead.
Mm-hmm.
So they cloned a non-dead person.
Yes.
And when I first read it, I was like, oh, okay. Like that's interesting. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. not like a huge twist.
Right. And I also, piggyback, they didn't do a very good job explaining how it happened. They tried. But
yeah. So she just left. She just went running.
Yeah, she just left. I just didn't know how did they get the sample to clone her? Did they just find hair like at home or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would just,
or like the original Lou provided it.
Yeah.
Like she was very much involved.
Yeah,
in the
she
process.
Was. And so was Silas a little bit because he got, I wanted maybe a little bit more that would have. Because I was confused. That was a part I had to read twice because I was like, I don't understand what I'm reading.
It was confusing because also she found out because she was following Fern,
yeah.
who was at her father's house for some reason.
Right.
So Fern, one of the other murdered women, discovers it first.
First. And then she goes to the house. That was another part where I was like, why is Fern,
she was very meddly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
She was one of those friends who like needs to know everyone's business.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, that the exposition mm-hmm. of the twist was a little slightly clunky and
yes.
it just didn't work as well as the rest of the book mm-hmm. did for me. I got it. Like, I understand it thematically,
mm-hmm.
but the actual writing of it.
No, I actually agree. I thought that it was very clunky. And I didn't understand it at first. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Let me pause and rewind.
Exactly. Why do you think this book became as popular as it did?
Well, I think it has a lot of elements that people like the murdery true crime vibe. People, you know, like love a true crime podcast. They love a true crime book. And then I also think it explores kind of the harder parts of motherhood, which now more and more, particularly millennial mothers, are feeling safer talking about.
Yeah.
And so this book kind of tackles that, I think, in a really unique way. And then I think that, again, that this book does a really good job of exploring themes that are overdone. Like the psycho serial killer theme is so overdone, but this kind of flipped it and gave the victims a voice, like making that game and like kind of making the victims the main character versus like a footnote in their own murder. I mean, even the title, like My Murder, like we really see women owning the narrative versus yeah. it falling into it being another book about a serial killer.
Yeah, I agree. It really worked for me. I thought it was a good thriller, again, for people who aren't necessarily regular thriller readers.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved kind of the points that it was making about the role of women in society and how replaceable or fungible like women are compared to like each other. So it's just like, how much is that replaceability because of a woman being like a wife or a mother?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's just like the second Lou was able to replace the first one
yeah.
in that role. But would that have worked the same way if it was like Fern or Angela? Would they have been able to just put a second, not original Angela or Fern into the first role? So I thought that it made a lot of kind of good commentary about that. Just,
yeah, that like I feel like once a woman, particularly once a woman becomes a mother, like that is who she is to her husband.
Yeah, and to society at large, right? That's how like, oh, young mother.
Yeah.
That's how when she died, right? Williams writes that when Lou dies, air quotes, she was described in articles as like, oh, a young mother was like disappeared and was
murdered. Yeah, could be any young mother. It
could be anyone.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess also on that same vein, like the only person who doesn't realize that she's not the same young mother is the baby, right?
Because
like anybody, apparently just any old person off the street, they had two different haircuts, could come and pick that baby up from daycare in the middle of the day. And like nobody noticed that they were really two different people.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of looked the same. But it was like, you could just be anyone as long as you seem like a competent young mother. Off you go with the baby.
Off you go. This is who you are.
Yeah.
A mother, not like a person.
Right. No, you're not a person. You are a caretaker. That is who you are. And the only person that was like, no, this isn't my mom, was the baby.
Yeah. It was really interesting to me in that sense. I also, I enjoyed the little true crime group, the Luminals, because I thought that was really good commentary on kind of people that get too carried away with true crime.
Yes, the armchair.
Like, they were convinced that Silas, Lou's husband, had killed her.
Convinced.
And they were just like, oh, you should really look into that. They were wrong, obviously, but I thought that was such a good flip or such a good critique.
Yeah.
The true crime communities, because some of those people are unwell.
Yeah, the armchair detectives can get a little carried away. Like they were just in that room all day.
All day.
Solving.
Looking at bank accounts and just really getting way too into it. Way too into it.
So into it. So should we KMK? Should we kiss Mary Kill?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Who would you?
All right. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I'm going to kiss Silas because I just felt really bad for him.
I liked him also.
I did. I liked him. I'm going to marry Lou for the first time ever. I'm marrying our leading lady. I loved her.
Main character.
I loved both
Lou's. Gets the rose. Gets the final rose.
So again, I'm in a thruple with both Lou's.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to kill Fern, the friend. Yeah.
That's fair. I think similarly, I think I would but flip Louise and Silas. So I think I would kiss Louise, marry Silas, and kill Fern.
Okay, yeah, we're both Fern.
Fern was fine. Fern was fine. She was just like one of those very annoying friends.
Yeah. She was just young too. She was very young and meddling.
Must die.
So yeah, the youth.
The youths must die.
Sorry, youth.
Honestly, I thought the characters were so well developed. I really liked Angela, the one that made the game.
The one that made the game. But like, and I also like how they almost did a twist for Angela too. So listener, so Angela makes this game where you, and remember, we're in a virtual reality kind of world. So you go into this game either as a victim or as the murderer,
the killer.
And it's based on
Edward Early's
five victims. So you can go in and essentially reenact these murderers.
Yeah.
And Angela had a big part in this game. And obviously the other four women are like, girl.
The girlies are upset.
Like, why did you do this? But then there's a little bit of a twist because at the end of the book, Angela sabotages the game and changes it so that women can go in and hunt the killer.
Yeah.
And that was like a whole like moment in time in the book. Like all of these women were going into the game and like killing the killers. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it felt very satisfying.
It did.
Both for Angela as a character and just for women generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. I really, really liked that.
Yeah. So good characters.
Really good female characters. They had nuance. They weren't flat. So what was the moment that made you gasp?
Okay, so this is like a low stakes moment, but it surprised me that the person who Lou was hugging at their job, at her job, being the original Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was the original Lou in the skin suit, I guess, of like a man, like a random whatever man, who like comes back relatively often and who at one point knew Lou grabbed his hand inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Not like in a, oh, I'm trying to do something kind of way, but in a...
like a desperate kind of... Yeah, it was not sexual at all. It was just like she grabbed this man... Yeah,
almost aggressively.
Yeah, like trying to like keep him there, but not really. It was just like a weird lapse in judgment.
Sure. So it was inappropriate. And this man keeps coming back and like asking questions a little bit from the new Lou. And at the end, we find out that it had been the original Lou all along, just kind of checking up on the new Lou.
Yeah, to make sure she wasn't going to leave.
Yeah, which is, it was funny to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just like, okay, cool. Girly.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, my gas moment was the twist. And like, I think to me, the buildup of the twist, because at one point, old Lou, like, she needs to get her go bag. She forgot it, I guess. So she breaks back into the house, but the babysitter's there and the babysitter sees her.
Yeah.
And then the babysitter's like, it was you in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't want to put you on the spot, but it was you. And then there's this moment when you think maybe she's crazy.
Yes, for sure.
But she's not. It literally was.
Yeah.
Old Lou. There's just a lot. There's a lot in this book.
A lot, but it's good.
It is good. All right. So let's talk about the Goodreads rating.
So it was
a 3.7 again, 3.7, another B.
Oh,
yeah. This one was like a B minus amongst the Goodreads community.
Sure. I
thought it was fair.
I gave it a 4, I think, in my Goodreads. But it was really good.
I mean, this book for me was like very good. I can see why people, I was reading, of course, through the bad reviews only, and people were confused. And I can see that. There was moments when I was legitimately confused because the author does not handhold the reader here.
No.
She like just jumps right into a hugging room and you're just supposed to know what's going on. And it's like, I don't understand what's happening. I'm uncomfortable. And you might have to go back and reread.
Yeah.
The same with the twist. Like she doesn't really handhold you through the twist. It's like, oh, by the way.
Agreed. I think it's a book that welcomes kind of post-reading analysis. And I think if you think about it a little bit, once you're done reading, you're your thoughts of it maybe shift a little bit progress. If you like see it beyond just the actual words on the page and what the author was trying to say.
Yeah, there's lots of commentary here.
Yeah, in like a subtle way. It's not like beating you over the head with it, which I like. It was done very well for me. So I appreciated it.
I agree. I thought this was definitely a recent fave. I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was good. But I also like a murder book, even one of the gross ones.
Can't do it.
On our Patreon, we're sorry for not posting on there, but we're going to do better.
Yes, that is a promise.
That's our formal plea.
On Instagram and TikTok. And we are also individually, I'm Color Me Loverly, just across the board.
And I'm Clarabelle, CWB, mostly on TikTok.
That's it.
That's all you had to do. But you should have to be a patron.
That's
on
all
our Patreon.
You have to do.
That's it.
This was.
Oh, you know what else? I have another call to action. Would you please leave us a 5-star review?
Oh my God, what a chaotic outro. Yeah, you should.
Tell us your favorite twist in a book.
Yeah, ruin it for everyone
else. Yeah, just tell us the book. You don't have to tell us what the twist is. Just tell us the title of the book that has your favorite twist.
There you go. That's better.
In a 5-star review.
Perfect.
Done.
Killed it.
We did it.